What was that workout video in the 90s that everybody...
Jazzercise?
Sweating to the oldies?
No, it was like a... It was a famous person, not Richard Simmons.
I know what you're talking about because I can see the VHS cover.
Yes.
Is yes. it Olivia Newton-John?
Oh, this is going to kill me.
I thought that reaction was purely for Olivia Newton-John.
Like, no, it was not.
Oh, I've got beef with Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, I wish it was. I haven't been this excited since I punctured Caroline's aorta.
Oh my gosh. That was almost my line. That whole monologue was incredible. Welcome back to Talking Backwards. I'm Dave Jackson.
Whoa.
This is episode 12 of 19.
Whoa.
What are you doing?
To my left, we have Tyler Mullins. Hey.
No, hey, come on. Patrick and I have our respective thunders.
My thunder's been stolen the last, like, 3 weeks.
They've just been stolen.
Yeah, mine's been stolen the last 3 weeks. I'm kind of used to it at this point.
How do you expect me to grow if you won't let me blow?
Blow away, my friend. Do what you do. Tyler, take the lead on this one.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm good.
Are you good?
I'm good.
Are you going to behave?
No.
Probably not.
I'll take that as a soft yes. Welcome back to Talking Backwards. I'm Dave Jackson, and I am joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And local thunder thief, Tyler Mullins.
Percy Jackson.
That was the lightning thief, if I'm correct. Lightning, thunder,
you know,
very
where,
good things.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, come on.
Right you
hey,
are.
Hey, everybody.
No. Speaking of smoke, we've got an episode today just full of it by the end of things.
Very true.
Yeah.
We, of course, are talking about season 2, episode 21.
Is it episode 21? It could be known as a couple other things. I refer to it as episode 28. However, it is 29th overall, and it has two titles, The Night of Decision or Miss Twin Peaks. It's a double.
I prefer the latter.
It was written by our dear friend Barry Pullman, and it was directed.
Right Hatchet.
And it was directed by Tim Hunter. Tim Hunter.
Has Tim Hunter directed any other episodes of Twin Peaks?
He has. He's directed two others.
Any favorites of ours?
Absolutely. Arbitrary Law, the one where.
Ah, fantastic. Yes.
And then I don't know if you guys remember episode 4, aka episode 5. It was 5th overall. That was the one called The One-Armed Man.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
The One-Armer.
Here comes The One-Armer now.
Great episodes, and it just carries on into this. I've got to say, this is easily one of my favorite episodes of the series. There's spooks, there's intrigue, there's drama.
This was the one, I think I mentioned a few episodes ago, it aired 2 months nearly after the last episode, and it aired as a Sunday night movie. It was the only time it was aired back-to-back in this way. I believe what I read was that, you know, it aired even without the credits. They literally aired it as a full 2 hour, even though the 2 hours were directed by two different people.
This is the penultimate episode of the season. And as far as anybody on the crew knew of the series, when did Fire Walk With Me go into production?
It came out about a year later, so I don't know exactly how... Well, because, I mean, this had to be filmed several months before this aired in June of 91. Fire Walk With Me was released in May of 92. It says Twin Peaks had only been canceled for a month when it was announced David Lynch would be making a movie.
Wow.
So it looks like around July of 91. Been watching interviews. Yeah, filming began September of 91. And it wrapped on Halloween.
Wow.
Ooh, spooky.
Super spooky. Super appropriate. Does anybody have any to do before we dive right into this thing?
No.
Let's dive right in. Season 2, episode 21, as some would say, Miss Twin Peaks or The Day of Decision. This opening scene is Leo handcuffed next to Major Briggs in Windermere's cabin. All I could think was this must have been exhausting to film.
Right.
Eric Garre. Like, I don't think this handcuff is necessarily as tight as it is supposed to appear to be. To grab this school desk had to just be physically demanding.
Right.
Like, this was a 4-hour shoot, easy. Maybe he did this fantastic the first time through, but even one take of this seems just the worst.
I don't ever want to sit there for any amount of time with a shackle around my ankle and wrist.
With your arm all the way above your head, not able to put it down? That's terrible.
It is.
But what occurs is Leo, who is aware of Shelley's predicament.
Yes.
He knows that she's in danger and suddenly cares about her and her well-being.
Yeah, I don't get that.
So in his, like, half Leo that we knew and half new Leo stupor, he's able to claw his way over to a desk which is just barely out of reach. And apparently this is where Wyndham Earle keeps the key to the cuffs.
And Leo knows that.
Yeah, not across the room in a place that he definitely can't get to them.
It's got to be a trap.
And you kind of think that, too. It's like, why would it be even that close if Wyndham Earle is this criminal genius he claims to be?
Yeah. No, it's definitely where Saw got its inspiration.
Yeah. The key is in the bathtub. It's like, oh, man, that was the very first thing I did wrong. Now, Leo gets the key. He frees Major Briggs. And... it takes a couple times for him to register. He's like, save Shelley. Huh? What? Do what? Save Shelley. Oh, okay.
Ugh.
And Briggs in his stupor just kind of wanders out to go and save Shelley, I guess. I think mostly he's just happy to be able to move around on his own.
Like,
yeah.
The guy that tried to kill Shelley twice wants to save Shelley.
Yep.
Because he wants to
kill her. Himself.
Yeah.
Ah.
Doesn't want his thunder stolen.
Now it makes
exactly
sense.
I know how that feels. Yeah, I'm commiserate with Leo in this instance.
It's all coming together, guys.
But Wyndham Earle does come back to the cabin to find that Major Briggs has been released. And he looks like a walking corpse already when he comes
into the
door.
What the hell?
He kind of reminds me of what we saw at the end of the last episode. You know, his mouth is black, like the pool of what we think is engine oil. With the white surrounding it.
Oh, the puddle of mud.
That's it, yes.
It advances, though, right? Because he comes in just looking like death, like just super pale and clammy.
Yeah.
After he reveals his face the second time, it's kind of like, is it Bilbo in Lord of the Rings? When he
reaches out for the ring.
Goes all monster.
Yeah.
It
looks like that. Like, it's just suddenly he's black-toothed and crazy-eyed and...
Yeah.
Just gnarly. It shook me. I gotta be real.
I appreciate your realness.
Thank you.
Yeah, quite the visual.
I tried to keep it real.
Well done.
I tried to stay in... I keep my finger on the pulse of the youth, right? Okay, boomer. Ooh. Am I right? Yeet.
Yeet. Indeed.
Vibing.
Let's move on.
Let's go to the Double R Diner.
Yes.
I took note in this... seen that Norma herself won Miss Twin Peaks 20 years ago.
Wow.
Which is interesting, because was it... Please correct me if I'm wrong. Was it Shelley... Didn't she mention it to Shelley the very first time we hear about the Miss Twin Peaks contest, and Shelley sort of, like, makes fun of it? I think it would be odd that she would make fun of it if she knew that Norma was a previous winner.
Right. Maybe she didn't know.
Yeah.
Just then. Maybe this is recent information. Maybe it's just a continuity error.
Yeah.
Regardless, Norma clearly has some experience with the competition. Yeah, she could probably pretty much Kelly Clarkson this thing and help these girls out. Tell them what to do. I also noted this through this whole episode for me, Heather Graham kind of fits in like a square peg in a round hole. Just since she arrived on the show, she has been so normal and approachable. And there's been nothing about her that seems... like, this person.
The only thing that's odd about her is when she
by
talks
about going on around her.
Yeah, the only thing that's odd about her is when she talks about how she thinks she's strange. Like, all the time today, she's like, "You must think I'm strange. Like, I feel strange. Like, I feel like I'm not actually here. Like, yada, 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 you know." Yeah, that's the only thing. It's like, otherwise, she doesn't come across strange at all.
Well, it's the Munster syndrome, right? So.
Sure.
Yeah, there's that one, like, beautiful young lady who's a member of the Munsters family, and everyone else is, like, a Frankenstein and a, a hair monster, and she's like, oh, I'm so ugly, I don't belong here.
Right.
It's like, no, you're wonderful as you are. It's just the surroundings are so abstract that you seem like you don't fit in here.
Right.
But I think that's maybe intentional, so that she stands out from everybody else. Like, she's never had a moment. I was like, what's up with this chick?
Right.
Like, just super relatable and super down to earth. And I really like Annie for these reasons.
I am trying my hardest to read this damn Soup of the Day
song. We need to
know.
You
got it, man. What do you got?
Maybe cream of elk something.
I like it.
That tracks. I'll take it.
Okay.
That works for me,
cream,
man.
Cream of elk.
There's another word after elk, but I can't read it.
Is it soup?
It could be. It doesn't look like it, but it could be. We'll go with cream of elk soup.
Chowder.
Chowder or bisque?
Cream of elk, chowder, it's bisque.
Definitely
soup.
Cream of elk bisque. I want to talk about Audrey's dress.
Oh my God.
Not anymore, Tyler.
Well.
Yeah, not now.
Well, you know what I have to say to that.
BZ does it.
So Audrey's dress is this flowy red drapey number.
Yes.
What does it remind you of?
The Red Room.
It reminds me very much of the curtains in the Red Room sequences.
Interesting.
Is it? Seemed kind of like you were fishing for that.
No. I don't fish.
I don't believe in ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts.
But in this scene, she is approached by Ben Horn, her father.
Father Ben. Yes.
Just got a stack of books about how to try and be good.
Holy books.
Holy books.
He is becoming a theologian.
Yes, he lifts off several religious texts, and he's just on the search for the philosophy on how to be good.
Just do it. Just be good.
Yeah, just be better.
Do
just
good.
Stop being bad.
Ignore all of your instincts.
Yeah.
Whatever Jerry does, do the opposite.
He's dealing with that. Audrey's dealing with Jack being gone.
One-eyed Jack?
Who cares? Cry me a freaking river.
Have we made that reference yet?
Oh, I don't think so.
One-eyed Jack and Jack?
Yeah.
Fishing for doubles.
I told you I don't fish.
Also, be sure to tune into our sister podcast, Fishing for Doubles.
I'd listen to that.
Dublin.
But yeah. It goes from Ben spouting off about how he's trying to be a better person to his daughter to realizing that maybe she has something she wants to talk about herself. And this is unusual for Ben Horn, being considerate of others. So maybe he actually is on the path to being a better person.
Maybe.
Just got to ruin a few lives first.
Got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet, am I right?
Yeah, I'm saying. And Ben is here to do some cracking.
Eggs?
He also very much wants Audrey to compete so that she can make a speech to further his efforts to stop the Ghostwood Project.
I really feel like she's missed the deadline to sign up.
Yeah, this is like the day of.
Yeah.
She's the write-in candidate, for sure. And I actually didn't really notice her in the rehearsal scene.
She wasn't. I don't know the truth to it because I couldn't find the source, but I read that Sherilyn Fenn actually was against this whole storyline and didn't actually want to participate in any of it because she thought it was sexist. But at the same time, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Even if it's not, I feel like it kind of fits, even though surely there'd be some rules for her not participating in the other events of Miss Twin Peaks. But it does make sense for her to be like, no, I'm just going up and giving my speech. And that's it.
Right.
She was standing at the very end, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's all Ben Horn really wants her to do is just give the speech. He doesn't say, like, you better find a talent.
Right.
And show up for that part.
Yeah. And I mean, even her character, her character even says, too, you know, she's like, I don't want to do the beauty pageant thing.
I don't want to be the town bathing beauty.
So that it tracks, like, whether the actress didn't want to participate in the storyline or not, it tracks with the character.
The character definitely did not, yeah. And yeah, I super respect that.
Yeah, me too.
No, for sure.
Makes me like her even more.
Like, this is super Audrey.
It is quite tawdry.
No.
Indeed.
Like, hey, compete in this competition that is based on looks and skills. And for her to say no.
Well, she is Audrey Horne.
Super Audrey.
And she gets what she wants.
She gets what she wants.
Yep. Ah, super.
And she can have it.
Super cool detail there.
Doesn't Audrey mention something about the Packards?
She does. I feel like it's sort of important. She has an update from her time in Seattle. And apparently the Packards are... I didn't fully follow exactly what's going on, but they're using the Twin Peaks savings and loan to either hide money.
Right.
Or launder it in some way.
Right.
To filter funds towards the Ghostwood Project. So that's kind of their enemy. But the bank is also keeping a low profile on it because they don't want any bad publicity.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Let me say that better.
Publicity.
They don't want any bad publicity.
They don't.
Twin Peaks.
Back to the police station.
Andy is doing his damnedest to navigate this petroglyph.
I think this is incredible. It's actually one of my favorite parts of this well, because he does it again later, but him just staring at it is...
three times total, yeah.
It's very fascinating.
Could this have anything to do with the 4-H Club?
He's doing everything he can, Andy. To...
Or what is it? I don't think so, Andy.
Doubtful, Andy.
But I love... No, he's like, really... It's interesting, obviously, with the events that happen at the end of the episode with him. You know, he ultimately figures it out, we think. Yeah. But it's just funny because he's the only person I've seen staring at it for this long.
He's really going in on it.
Well, Coop, really Coop even says, has he taken his eyes off of it?
Right. Yeah, I love that.
I love these little moments for Andy where he actually does have these moments of revelation, whether it's
these tiny little victories.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. Andy.
And they go a long way for a character like his.
Yeah.
Like taking a board to the face so they can find the boots. That was big.
Yeah.
Getting the saving shot to keep Harry from getting murdered when they were arresting Jacques Renault.
Yeah.
Like Andy needs these little wins.
Yeah,
he does.
He doesn't have it yet. He knows he's looking at something, and he's got an idea of what's going on, but he doesn't quite have it put together yet.
No, he don't.
Yeah, so in the same scene, Cooper finally reveals to Harry that when Josie died, he had a vision of Bob.
Yeah, and he, again, is this the second time we've heard that she died of fear?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we officially got the first thing, because wasn't that in a televised recap of the first bit of the season when he says he thinks she died of fear?
That's right. I think it was in that long 2-minute recap from when the episode had been off the air for like 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So it hasn't been in an actual episode at this point.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a spoiler.
Well, they also in that recap video when Cooper's talking to Diane and explaining all the events of the town.
Who the hell is Diane?
You know... I think she's real. Well, hang on. I gotta finish talking about this before I forget about it.
Do this first.
It's interesting too because they show a real quick shot of when he's on the boat with Annie. You don't see Annie because I don't even know if she's been introduced yet, but you do see a shot of the boat with like her. We know now that she's in it, but I just think it's funny that they use that shot like 2 or 3 episodes before. So they had all this stuff, you know, for a while. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. But yeah, the Josie Fear line is, I mean, that's just very interesting just in the context of everything.
And oh boy, fear. That's Wendell Merle's favorite emotional state.
He loves that.
If he made a BuzzFeed article that was his top 10 favorite emotional states,
fear would be number one.
Number one is fear. Hey, it's your boy Wendell Merle again, back with another top 10 list. We also... in this scene, find out that Earl actually did, in fact, kill his own wife.
He has confirmed it.
He finally confesses. And this is second to this moment just now, where he's listening in as Cooper is revealing to Truman that he saw Bob, that he thinks there's a connection between Bob and the Black Lodge, that he believes fear is the key that brings Bob through. This causes Wyndham Earl to put together that fear is the key to get to the Black Lodge.
It makes me wonder what Wyndham Earl
loves it.
It makes me wonder what Wyndham Earl knows about Bob.
Has he seen Bob?
I don't think.
Is he Bob?
I don't think
you
so.
You have to wonder.
It just makes me wonder because he didn't react like it would have been hilarious if it cut to him and he just goes, Bob. Like, who's Bob? Who is that?
What else?
I don't know, Bob. Leo, do you know a Bob? Bobby Briggs?
Or has he encountered Bob so many times that it's just water off his back at this point? You don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that the fact that he made absolutely no reference to Bob at all is suspect on both sides.
Indeed it is.
Does he have no clue what he's talking about, or does he know exactly what he's talking about?
Right.
All he knows is that, all he takes away from it, rather, is that fear is the key. But he loves it. He loved killing his wife. He loves the emotional state of fear. And he loves tying a box of spiders to people's teeth.
Yeah. So, is that little crate supposed to break if he opens his mouth?
So, here's the thing about this trap.
Explain it.
He kind of leaves Leo in this state because he's upset with him for... Well, by the way, great villain moment for Nemerle before he leaves.
Yeah. Oh, man. This whole monologue and everything, there was a moment in it and I was like, he might make a good Joker in like some very specific Batman movie. His villainous was very believable.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really, for the first time for me, it was a very genuine like, oh, shit. Like, this is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, this monologue is effective, and his menace is clear and present.
Yeah.
And the pull-away... So, on my first viewing, I see the rope tied to Leo's teeth after he leaves, and Leo just kind of shuddering in fear of what's to come. And I thought for sure this string was tied to a door Wyndham was about to leave out of, and just do the whole, like, you got a loose tooth and you slam a door to knock it out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that was what's going on, but no. This string is tied across a pulley system to just a box of spiders. And if I'm in this situation where it's either like, let this thing, this rope out of my teeth and let this box fall, just kill me. Like, just let me end. Because my two things in life are spiders and stuff about teeth. So if Wyndham Earle DDS is about to walk out of the room and leave me with this decision... Do you guys have anything else about the scene? Because I just had an existential crisis when I saw it.
I do not.
Well, then let's liven things up a bit with the dance choir lineup, or the dance chorus line lineup for the Miss Twin Peaks rehearsal.
Let's talk about why there's a basket on stage with a big sandwich in it. Just sitting there.
Ben Horn was just passing through, had his arms full.
I just need to set this down.
Says, I'll come back for this. Like, oh, you're having rehearsals. You're busy. I'll be back.
I'll just leave this here. Yeah. So this guy is what? Medical supply salesman slash choreographer slash...
Look, Mr. Pinkle wears a lot of hats.
Plus pine weasel expert.
I like to believe that he is a medical supply salesman first, but his closet passion
is
dance choreography.
He's a regular
in
Dick,
the theater.
He's a regular Dick Tremaine. They just wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Now, he is passionate about choreography and putting women in compromising positions for his benefit. He loves it.
Never question the choreographer.
I was watching,
only question the choreographer.
More than anything, I was watching for background details during the scene. So you have...
Don and Shelley's the best part.
Don and Shelley, who are being very chummy and smoking throughout this rehearsal.
It's amazing.
So good. There's the one chick who is just selling it. In her Buns of Steel jazzercise outfit.
Yep.
And everybody else is just doing their best. Lucy, I think, is actually holding back a little bit during this. Like, she's kind of downplaying it, looking around just like, just you wait.
Just you wait.
So, the guy carrying the deer statue to stage.
Oh, man. It's one of the pictures we have for the promo.
Oh, it's a crown jewel of this episode as far as videography is concerned.
First of all, that thing is not that heavy.
No, it's not that heavy. And you also don't have to carry it like you're humping it. He's doing what you call the bestiality carry across the shot. He takes way too long to get through it.
Yes.
This deer can't be that heavy. Why would you hold it long ways, like tail to crotch?
I don't know.
He's just a passing through, and he's showing so much exertion in his face. He is selling this carry.
Oh, yeah, he is. Giving it a real blitzing.
God.
Oh, no. So the dance rehearsals come to a break. Pinkle dismisses the ladies to take a break. And Dwayne, the enthusiastic cuckold, releases Lana into the wild.
Go get him!
There's something in the prop closet I'm having a hard time finding. God,
this scene.
Yeah, this is rough, right? Yeah. I had a lot of emotions about this scene.
Maybe the low point of the episode.
Lana, who's supposed to be the golden goose, kind of the sure thing in this competition, according to Dwayne Milford, kind of sends her into the arms of Dick Tremaine so that she can get his vote and win the whole thing. So she takes him into the supply closet. Dick seems like he actually doesn't want to be involved, but he doesn't actively fight against it.
Yeah.
Right.
So with his flashlight in the supply closet, does this thing not have its own light switch, first of all?
It does not. Okay. It does not. You, there's a, outside the door, there's probably a little stand with a flashlight.
That's the supply closet flashlight. Please do not remove this flashlight.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
It's on one of those slinky cords.
So this scene is stupid, but every time the flashlight shuts on and off, you can see the cuts and like they like move position. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, how bad do you have to be that you can't do this in one take?
One fluid take, please.
Yeah.
Now, it's tough. Yeah. They definitely tried this several times, and Dick eventually gives in to Lana's feminine wilds. It's like, what exactly is it you're looking for?
I'll know it when I see it. Oh, this might
be by
it.
George.
By George.
I think you've got it.
That was the best part about the captions, at least on my DVD. It was just like, Dick, by George, I think you've got it.
By George, I think you've got it. So we know what's going on here.
We do.
We get a return to personal memoirs to Diane.
Who the hell
so
is Diane?
I think there's a pretty logical answer and explanation about the origins.
A black logical explanation?
Oh my god.
How
did you do that? I've already forgotten what I was going to say.
Damn it.
Maybe another time.
Yeah, now that we've derailed completely, let's just get right back on track. So Cooper is making another voice memo to Diane, who we all know and love. And
I don't know.
Speaking, Tyler, will you just give me a second?
You know her.
He is talking to her about how he has substituted sleep with meditation.
Yeah,
and
no
I
thanks.
Wish this actually worked. Like, if I could just get deep in thought and feel rested and ready to take on a day.
Yeah,
any day of the
week,
I'll take it.
Never gonna happen.
He's talking about how he's done that. He kind of updates Diane about Wendy Merle and how the case is progressing. But he gets a little derailed himself when he mentions Annie Blackburn. It's such a genuine interest, and he's so excited about this person being in his life. And as he's bringing her up, he gets a knock on the door, has a kind of offhanded comment about how sometimes solitude has its benefits, which people in quarantine these days can probably relate to, am I right? Topical.
Ayo.
COVID-19, am I right?
You right.
Okay, boomer.
Yeet.
Right? Yeet. I am legitimately an old man who does not understand what the kids are talking about these days.
Yeah.
Now, Annie comes into the room, and we get into the what I like to call the metaphorical
Ooh.
Forest.
I see.
But yeah, she's talking about how her forest is a little bit damaged, and she doesn't know if anything will grow again. But Cooper doesn't want to talk about trees anymore.
He doesn't want to talk about trees. He wants her to let him into her secret garden. Now's not the time, Annie.
And then they...
She'll let you drive her car.
They proceed to make love.
Coop makes love with Annie.
Yes, he makes it to her.
Which he expressed interest in doing. Okay, the next shot is Nadine making a presentation.
It is probably one of the best slideshows I've ever seen.
This is before the age of PowerPoint, and it is way more effective.
It is, especially when you have Jacoby running slides.
Yep.
Jacoby running like anything makes things better. Just
so
put him in charge.
This is a play-by-play of men she has defeated in wrestling with descriptions of like whether or not she was attracted to them and how strong they were.
But also, this is obviously some kind of consultation thing.
Yeah, she brought meeting. This to like a couple therapy sessions.
So like, how did this, how does this incorporate into what's happening?
That might have been her condition. They're like, Nadine, I think we need to have couples therapy with you and Mike and Ed and Norma. She's like, only if I can do a slideshow presentation of men I've defeated in wrestling.
Fine.
Okay, we can lead with that, but then we really need to talk about stuff.
And I love it when they clap at the end.
She's like, and these are my trophies. Thank you. Like, yeah, great. Great work. Great job.
Well done, Nadine.
We're all super impressed you didn't kill anybody. She does this whole presentation. It is clearly at a couples therapy session where this has no place. And it's still not clear to Nadine that she is in the middle of a divorce and not just breaking up.
It's just a breakup.
Yeah, we're still approaching this very gingerly. Until finally Jacoby turns to Ed, is like, Ed, do you think there's anything that maybe you want to say to Nadine? After she's just described that she was attracted to Mike's buns.
I can see the appeal.
Buns of steel.
That's great.
Yes.
That one guy had quads like bridge supports, and that's neat. Glad you pinned him in a minute 5, Nadine. Great job.
I'm just happy.
Mike, you've been pole vaulting?
I'm just happy to see Big Ed again.
Yeah. Where's he been?
They're trying to think of the best way to actually approach Nadine about this whole situation, and Ed just straight out says, you know what? Norm and I have been talking about getting married. We plan on getting married.
Yeah.
So Nadine crushes Mike's hand to paste.
Yeah, his hand is broken.
That's
there's no way. Great transition, too, with his scream.
Yeah, I agree.
Very well done.
Very well done. Now we have Major Briggs needs to get his...
Back to the station.
...uniform dry cleaned.
Actually, where are we at? Is this when he's coming out of the woods?
Yes.
Back to the woods.
Mm. Yeah, Hawk picks up Briggs in the woods as he wanders out.
I'm just thankful for Hawk. I mean, he pulled up at the right time.
Perfect timing.
When this happened, I thought about it. I was like... What if he was, like, 3 seconds ahead?
Yeah.
And, like, he just, like...
Yeah, just missed
Briggs him. Walks out of the woods and you just see Hawk drive by.
I really think that's, I mean...
That was a weird-looking deer.
I think it's... I actually think it's perfect that Hawk is the one that found him. I also... Yeah. I think it's just something with timing, especially with... Think of the people that are involved in this scene. Just Hawk and Briggs. And we all know how time works in Twin Peaks.
Right.
So it's just
of course we do not.
I think something was telling Hawk to be in this area at this time.
Yeah, I like to think that as well.
Because it's too circumstantial for even for Twin Peaks. Like this is clandestine.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have meant as much if it had been Andy or Cappy.
If it had been Cappy, I would have raged.
Or Tom Cruise.
Like, no, you don't sit with us!
If it was Tom Cruise, he would have reached down while flying his own helicopter and snatched him up.
Cappy does his own stunts for sure, though.
Yeah, he does. I do my own walking.
What's that actor's name? Ron Kirk? The guy only has 2 credits to his name. Twin Peaks. And the Bill Tush Show.
What?
The what?
The Bill Tush Show.
Who is Bill Tush?
And the best part is, the Bill Tush credit is 10 years prior to Twin Peaks.
Oh, so it was like a kid's show?
Says he was an ensemble cast member, so probably. He was a Michael Scott.
I want to have 100 kids so they can be my friends.
and no one can say no to being my friend.
So this guy retired from acting after the role of Cappy.
After Twin Peaks.
Oh, this is where he peaked out?
Yeah.
Twin Peaked.
He Twin Peaked.
Twin Peaked.
Let's talk about this next scene.
Let's do it. Briggs is rambling on about kings and castles and...
Judy Garland.
Who knows what? Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
That's a weird name.
Judy Garland? Well, can we talk about Judy first?
We're not going to talk about Judy.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
David Lynch is said to be a big fan of The Wizard of Oz.
Ah, I can see it. I want to watch Lynch's Oz.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I am so ready for that.
I think Return to Oz is about as Lynchian as you can get when it comes to the Wizard of Oz series. The Wheelies Man? Terrifying. But yeah, he's just kind of not present, and he's... No.
There's stuff that I think, I mean, when you think about what he's saying, though, I do think there's some connections to be made.
Well, sure, yeah. Oh, it all ties together.
Make them.
It seems very much in the moment that he's just kind of rambling and he's lost in a different world.
Oh, he is. He is lost.
Another world?
He is between two places.
Between two worlds?
Between two peaks.
Where have we heard between two worlds?
Fire, walk with me.
That's it.
So... Cooper and Harry are trying to get as much information as they can out of Briggs, who can't seem to really comprehend what's being asked of him. He doesn't even seem to realize his own name at this point.
No, but Andy, he thinks it's weird.
He is far away
on this map.
Andy is still looking at the map.
Well, what he doesn't realize is a map yet, but the petroglyph.
He is still staring at the chalkboard.
Oh, that he just
has not peed in 2 days.
He just walks through the scene and goes and stands and stares.
I know. I love the music that plays because it happens again later. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. It happens again.
Yeah.
This may have been the second time that it happened. But it's like that one weird music of like somebody.
Talking about the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that surf guitar strum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ole Angelo.
Mm-hmm. Abadalamenti.
Abadalamenti. Is he Italian?
He is now.
That just got retconned.
That actually reminds me. I mentioned this to Tyler when we spoke last week. I wish I had said it on our episode last week. Last week, I know you haven't seen it, Dave, but I'm gonna have to spoil a line for you because it's hilarious. You haven't seen MacGruber, and they celebrated the 10th anniversary last week.
I have not seen MacGruber.
And there was a moment because last week, you know, Audrey says she's a virgin. And there's a moment in MacGruber where Kristen Wiig's character says, right before they're about to do it, she says, "I'm a virgin." And then Will Forte, as MacGruber, responds, "Not for long." I wish that had been BZ's response.
I wish it had been a verbatim copy of the script.
What do I mean?
Stumble upon later in my life. While they're trying to interpret what Briggs is saying, and while Andy is trying to interpret what he's looking at, Pete, Catherine and Andrew are still trying to interpret what's going on with this stainless steel box that was in the middle of the puzzle box from last episode.
And I could care less at this point. We've been spending 5 episodes trying to crack this.
Open this box.
Yeah, and it's just... I'm over.
Is it a 20-second challenge situation on this scene then?
You know what? We're coming up on the end of the season. Why not? 20-second challenge!
Look, when you've got a puzzle box, you need a cramjack all-duty vise to pop it open. And if you can't get it then you just gotta shoot it. Shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. Blast it open, there's a key in the box. What does this key go to? Nobody knows. Put it in the cake saver. Forget it, set it, and forget it. That's what we do here, and we're done.
Okay.
Was that 15 seconds? 14 seconds.
It was close.
All I really took out of the scene is that Pete super loves Andrew.
Yeah, like, man. He's shooting his house. He's like, "Oh, look, look."
It's like, "Good job."
Yeah, nice shooting, Andrew.
Good job, buddy.
It's a key.
It's like, what, you don't trust each other? Looking at Andrew like, this one over here. I mean, I feel like we could have done another 20-second challenge on the next scene. Donna blasts into the room. She's all dolled up. She goes up to her parents. Like, "Oh, you look beautiful." And she's like, "I want the truth."
Okay, Donna, you look like shit.
Trying to give you a compliment. They're just like, "Donna, just like chill." And she says, "No, if you won't tell me, I'm gonna go to Ben Horn and find out exactly what's going on."
Why won't they just tell her? Get this over.
I was about
to say,
if there's ever a time to just say, "All right, fine, here's some truth."
Especially with the scene from Ben and Doc Hayward. I mean, he has to know that Ben's gonna tell her. And if she goes to him, like to the source, he's going
to
say something.
To the source. He's going to say something.
Just tell her something. Placate her in some way, because she's about to go get exactly what she wants from somebody else.
Sounds like we all got beef.
We go back to the station.
Yes. We go back to the station. So a lot kind of happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Garland is still spouting out his incoherent ramblings. Cooper, Andy, and Truman are all doing their respective things, trying to figure out what's going on here. Cooper and Truman are having a back and forth as Garland says something about the Queen.
Mm-hmm. Which I know what that
protect
means.
Protect the right. Queen.
Protect the Queen. And everybody knows what that means in a way. So Cooper
in a way.
Knows that in chess, taking the Queen is the big move. You take the Queen and you have the power.
That's right.
The King is still
I
in
got
play.
The power.
The King of Romania.
Bam, bam, bam. The King of Romania. I was like, no, Harry.
Well, the thing, too, is we can assume that Major Briggs saw these cards, too, at the cabin.
Yes.
Oh, he definitely did.
The Queen, so, yeah. You know, all this ties in.
Yes. It all is part of a bigger picture. So Cooper has put it together in his head that the Queen, Wyndham Earl's target, is going to be whoever wins Miss Twin Peaks. This whole time, Andy is trying to get Cooper's attention, but he has no time for it.
It bugs the hell out of me.
Me too. It really does.
Like, just stop and listen to him.
Yeah, just hear what he has to say. Just give the boy a chance.
Yeah, sat there like, and listened to Briggs ramble about some dog shit that nobody understands. Andy has something to say.
Sounds like you got beef.
Man, I do. I got beef. I already said it.
Yeah, because like Andy probably chased them to the parking lot. Did Coop just get in the car and just keep ignoring him?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He shut the door and Andy's standing there knocking on the window.
I assume that
Agent Cooper.
I assume Lucy
Agent
was,
Cooper.
Well, no, Lucy was probably getting ready for the Twin Peaks. Yeah, so there's no excuse. Unless someone else was manning the phone. It's probably Cappy.
Oh, Cap's on the line? We've got a lot more episode to talk about. Andy, as he's chasing them out the door, actually knocks over the bonsai tree and reveals the bug that Wyndham Earl had planted.
Yes.
As they have put together all of the information already and talked loudly about it around this bonsai tree, Cooper knows for a fact that Wyndham Earl already knows everything they know, and he is already a step ahead. So they've got to save whoever wins Miss Twin Peaks because they know that's going to be his target, and he's likely already making his play.
Did you talk about the constellation stuff? Did I miss that?
We didn't.
We didn't.
Okay.
But
because this is that's before the bonsai.
Yeah. So the 4-H thing that Andy brings up during the scene when he turns around and says, "Hi, could this have anything to do with the 4-H club?" Cooper somehow, because I don't know how these books work, somehow puts it together that 4 and H are Jupiter and Saturn. And that them being in line at the same time.
In conjunct. Or he said when they're conjunct. I was like, is that
grammar?
I don't think so.
Like, I don't know enough about it to contest it, so I just let it roll.
Yeah. It's like it jarred the ear.
Yeah, it's shocking to hear.
Yes.
It's unpleasant in the ear.
It is.
And somehow them being in line both expand and contract the universe in a way that causes the door to the Black Lodge to open. But that's what they know about it. And somehow fear and love are the keys to both the White Lodge and the Black Lodge, respectively.
Also, he's explaining it, and he's like, it says here, and then it shows him pointing at the book, and it's just constellations.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't say shit.
Yeah, it doesn't show when they're aligned where. It just says, here's this, and here's the shape, and this is what you call it.
According to this, they should be lined up.
Tomorrow at 9:30.
At the Roadhouse.
At the Roadhouse.
They don't say that, but they
Truman,
put
Truman
together
still doesn't get it.
They know the window of time that the lock will appear for the Black Lodge.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, what Wyndham Earl is seeking out, so he can have this evil godlike power. So they've got to stop him. So this next bit is the Miss Twin Peaks competition, and this is a blast. Lucy is front and center. They're doing this whole big dance number. It's this whole production. It's wonderful. And there's all this umbrella twirling. It's just a spectacle.
Yeah, they're all wrapped in plastic.
It is awful.
Yeah. And Pinkle is just so proud of this production he's put on that he projects that onto Log Lady. She's not having it.
Yeah. She's like, I've already got a log. Go stick it somewhere else.
So Bobby is behind the scenes.
Yes.
He has a...
Checking out the local talent.
Yeah, he has a business strange boy. Line to me. He kind of looks out into the crowd and spots Log Lady and says to himself, small town, man. Has he even encountered Log Lady?
Was he looking? But I couldn't tell if he was actually looking at Log Lady or was just looking at everything going on. I know we realize he double takes for Log Lady.
Yeah, but
I just took that as he was looking out at just everyone there and just said, "Small town, man." Just because maybe I assumed he just knew everyone. It's definitely implied.
Like, were you just trying not to run into her and you didn't expect to see her here because you have had no previous interactions? Guys, hold up. Lucy can really dance.
Yeah.
You know who can't? Shelly. Shelly, when they do the kick line.
Yeah.
Shelly, like, can barely lift her legs off the ground.
Meanwhile, Lucy Morin, Kimmy Robertson, is just killing it with the high kicks.
Yeah. And
enough spins that I would have been dizzy, but she just keeps on going. She has this whole production. She is like she's classically trained in dance. I don't know Kimmy Robertson's history.
I think she is.
But
is what
man,
I,
she
is,
brings it.
That's what I read, is that she was trained. So I don't know if it came down to, did they ask everyone, who's got talent that they can use in this? You know, and who knows, I don't know if they filmed anything else that might have ended up on the cutting room floor of anyone else, but I'm so glad that they had a feature on her. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was a really great time for her to shine like that.
So talking about the small town man thing, because this is directly after or during Lucy's dance, while that's happening, I guess, I mean, he is noticing Log Lady and talking about that. But then he turns around and sees Wyndham Earl.
Yes.
Log Man.
And walks up to her and says, what, you bring your whole family?
Well, but who would he be talking to in that instance? Does he think that it's part of her family? Or does he think that it's her teleported?
I think it's that, because when he looks back,
she's gone.
After he sees Log Man, she's gone.
But he does he think her whole family just walks around holding logs?
Probably.
It is Bobby.
Or maybe he's talking about the fact that her log is different. Because the one Wyndham's holding is like a chopped piece of wood.
Right. Pointy.
It's the equivalent of a surname in the Log Lady family. You just have a different type of wood that you carry around. But Bobby doesn't get to say much for long because Wyndham Earl, as Log Lady, immediately clubs him across the top of the noggin, rendering him unconscious.
He's also standing in front of a restroom sign, so I can assume he changed in there.
Yeah, but he goes back in the restroom, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
Gotta take a leak.
It's like after a long, hard day of clubbing people in the head, it's time for a bathroom break. But this kind of is occurring under the contortionist jazz exotica that Lana's putting on for her talent. This goes on for
it
a while,
not
I would
pretty.
Say.
Yeah. That was the best part, though, is when Andy comes in. He's like, Agent Cooper! And then he just gets distracted by her dance.
Just wide-eyed.
I loved that.
I loved the shot of the men's reactions on the panel. Kind of like Milford and Dick. They're just... Oh. Pretty good. I was a big fan of Audrey's speech when she got her bit.
She looks so good.
She looks great. Like, as far as the contestants are concerned, just with all their different get-ups, she looks classy. She delivers her speech with eloquence.
Yes.
Honestly, I think she deserves the win.
I agree.
She didn't need a talent. She didn't need to be in the chorus line.
No.
I think she had enough
she
presence
had to show
and charisma.
Up.
She should have taken the crown.
Yeah.
Alas,
I agree.
She had no talent or was not in the dance then, she probably was disqualified.
And the fact that she just barged in and said, I'm going to do this. Well, you missed sign-ups.
I'm the write-in vote.
It's probably why they didn't pick
I'm her. Audrey Horn, and I get what I want. And then she snapped and walked off.
Right. I was like, well, I guess give her a few minutes to...
Yeah, just...
We'll pencil her in after contortionist jazz exotica.
Do you know who my dad is?
He'll bury you! My boyfriend has a plane!
Ugh.
But as Audrey's doing her speech, we have a short scene of Donna confronting Ben Horn backstage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even Ben Horn's being dodgy.
He's being more kind of open. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but he's engaging more with the idea that there's
something left to be said.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, we should all get together and talk about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But should we? Should we sit down as a family unit and really hash this all out? Or can we just have somebody say what needs to be said once and just be done with it?
I liked Donna's reaction here to it when she walks away and she's just like, you're my father. I thought it was nice.
No!
It's impossible! Yeah, so Donna puts it together, which she already knew, but she just finally got the answer she needed.
Yeah.
And takes that and leaves. There's Annie's speech next. And there's a lot in her speech in a short amount of time.
There is.
The biggest thing I took away from it was her mentioning the world holding on to the spirits after people left.
Yeah.
And that's just huge for the mythology of the entirety of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
It's like old things staying around. But it's it's riveting enough for Dick
like
to give her his vote.
Mayor Milford, am I right?
Right. Yeah. That's a spirit that's been holding on for a while.
We failed. I want to say it now just because I'm going to forget about it. I thought it was big to point out that when Annie and Shelley were, and maybe, yeah, Norma too. Yeah, Norma. And then they were chatting at the Double R, they mentioned Laura Palmer.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, that's right.
Don't know how we failed to mention that.
We did. Well, it's so brief.
Because
it's really in passing.
But I love it because my ears perked up because I was like, you know, it's like one of those scenes where you're kind of half paying attention. And it's like, okay. But, you know, then her name is just like, oh, because you don't hear it come up that often now.
Yeah, it's very offhanded when Annie brings it up. Norma is saying that we need somebody who can really shine in the town, especially this year. Mm-hmm. And Annie just kind of offhanded just goes, oh, you mean like Laura Palmer?
Which I think is interesting that how did she even know about that if she was gone?
How did that come up?
I realize it wasn't that long ago in the timeline of the show, so someone could have brought it up to her, but we haven't seen it.
I was going to say, who's
did
been talking
about
it?
Did she kill Laura Palmer?
Back? Yeah, it would have been one thing there's if like the scene where she came in, she's like, well, what happened, you know, while I've been away? Which I'm still even a little...
not much.
I'm still even a little confused about her living there before, because who says it? Mayor Milford or Dick? She's like, she's only been in town for... for 5 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes. So that makes me just confused on her even more, or her backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue with her speech. I thought about that.
Now, any speech is engaging, and it's very much about basically the Native American beliefs in preserving the spirits of the world that you live in, saying that even when people have left, the world will remain, and we need to do what we can to preserve what will outlive us. And that's kind of her whole shtick. It's a slow clap when she finishes. Like, people don't really seem to attach right away. That's kind of...
They were taking it in.
I'll take it. Sounded a lot like Audrey's, but I'll take it, yeah.
Yeah. Way to be original.
Let's not...
Black dress and everything.
Right. Let's not forget that it's D-Day.
It is.
Dad Day.
Dad Day.
It's so anticlimactic for Lucy.
It's not Dick Day, though.
It's not Dick Day. It is Andy Day. Andy Day.
It's A Day.
Andy Day. I like that.
Lucy picks Andy as the father of her unborn child.
Shocker.
Yeah. Dick's thrilled. He's delighted.
Like, shocker.
Oh, capital. If you'll excuse me, congratulations, Andrew.
Yeah, well, we also haven't seen, like, Dick care or show interest in anything with Lucy in a while.
Yeah, I mean, there was that brief stint with little Nikki who just fell off the planet.
That's what I mean. Like, since that storyline dropped, he hasn't really had anything on screen involved with Lucy except for the wine tasting.
I think that was more a competition with Andy, but once he realized he wasn't really... a competitor. He just kind of stopped trying.
Yeah.
Like, well, whatever happens, happens. Pine weasel. Wine tastings.
Tannins.
Yeah, wine that's weasel. Where his head's on, his head's in the tannins zone. He's not worried about any of this. You've been in the tannin weasel. Zone on talking backwards. But Cooper shows up to the competition because he's got to find who's going to be the winner of the Miss Twin Peaks pageant so he can save her from Wyndham Earle. And as the results come in, Annie wins.
Shocker.
He's a little concerned.
Who called it?
News.
Who called it?
Dude.
I did.
He sure did.
Many moons
you've been
ago.
Calling it. You've been calling a lot of good foreshadowing.
Yeah. I like Cooper here. Because it's like, you know, he wants to clap, but he's like, oh crap.
Is it? Yeah, that was a good bit of acting there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, bad news for Annie Blackburn here. It's all of a sudden it's lights out. There's strobes and smoke.
I loved this so much. I want to see stats on how many people had seizures when they watched this episode. It was really cool. I was like, they really upped the budget for the end of this episode.
There were explosions and strobe lights.
Can we work strobe lights and smoke machines into the budget for this episode?
Yeah, that made me. It's like, did he have a strobe machine that he just took in there?
He had like 7.
I think there are some deleted scenes where Wyndham Earle actually went through and planted these as Log Lady.
Just tinkering.
I'd love to see that.
Him just walking around in this empty
unscrews
space.
The top of the log, plants the strobe light.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah, this is his
disco
big distraction
log.
To cause a panic in the room so that Cooper can't get to Annie as all this is going on. And he gets her. Wyndham Earle gets up to Annie. He snatches her. He chloroforms her. Drags her off.
What does he say? I'll help you.
I love him in this, too. He's so creepy as the log lady here. Like, when he's, like, kind of creeping up to her.
It's very Ghostbusters 2 when Janos shows up as the nanny outside the window as the ghost.
Yeah.
Super scary. Like, just off-putting enough to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scary image, and it's a scary situation. But he snatches her and he gets away.
So I don't really know how, you know, because obviously Coop doesn't get to her because there's an explosion right in front of him.
He gets blasted.
But he does somehow see that he got her.
Well, he sees Wyndham Earle as Log Lady and clocks him.
Right. So, so does he just assume that he took her? Because when the lights come back on, he just immediately tells Truman, like, he's got Annie.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Like, he doesn't see Wyndham anymore, and he doesn't see Annie, so he got her. He's out. Tough scene for Coop. Like, just knowing what's going on, knowing that you're powerless to stop it, because you can't physically get there.
Yeah.
It's very villainous by Wyndham Earle.
There's one
cause
more...
a panic and uses make his move there.
It's like a bad dream.
There's one other big detail we didn't touch on during the
A big panic. D, you say.
Yes, a big D. There's another big D that we didn't touch on. does anybody know what it is? When all the strobe lights happening, the panic. There's one very important thing. Somebody's probably doing the Leland.
I missed it.
There is a shot of a bag that falls from the ceiling.
Oh, yes.
Hits Nadine.
So Nadine is
going to
get her memory back in the next episode.
Yes.
She is definitely going to... She got knocked back into reality.
You think so?
And she will be contesting the breakup next episode.
It's a bit predictable, but, you know.
Yes.
Poor Mike.
Yeah.
Poor Ed.
I guess.
Poor Ed.
Yeah, poor Ed.
Poor Norma.
Poor Norma.
Poor everybody.
God.
Yeah, after the panic and after the lights come back up, Wyndham Earle is gone, Annie is gone.
Andy finally finds Coop. He still doesn't want to listen. He's like, Andy, what is it?
I was like, Cooper, I figured it out. It's a map. But Andy...
Credits.
By studying this petroglyph the whole episode, all three times he's gone up and just stared at the board, he realizes that he actually knows where the Black Lodge will be. And... That is our episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Woo! Eventful.
Yeah. Big ending.
Eventful to say the least.
What was the other title of this?
Day of Decision. That's right.
Was it the Day of Decision? Yeah.
I think Day.
What is the decision?
Deciding who's Miss Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Also deciding who's going to be the father of Lucy's child, I assume. But that is super underplayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither of the men care at all.
No.
Yeah,
That's saw great, that, Lucy, but I guess, need to go find Agent Cooper.
I guess what I was reading was that fans named this episode Miss Twin Peaks. Like, it became famous enough that it eventually got used in an official capacity, but I think that's why you see both names, because Night of Decision, I guess, was the original title.
Hmm. Oh, Night of Decision?
Night of Decision, yeah.
Gotcha.
Night of Decision.
That's way more sense.
Decision. But yeah, this was a good episode.
Yes, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thoroughly.
I think this might be, like, next to the finale, this might be my favorite episode of the season.
What was the, there was an episode early on in season two that you really loved that I remember being surprised by. Because you gave it a 5.
It was the one.
Coma.
Right.
No, it was Man Behind Glass.
Yeah, actually.
You loved Man Behind Glass. Yeah, I remember.
Love Man Behind Glass. It's so much fun.
Well, we're going to, in our season two recap episode, which will take place after we wrap the finale, we'll go through all of our scores. We're going to see which ones we rated 5 stars, and we'll pick what was our ultimate favorite episode.
I'm sorry, I don't think we rated anything 5 stars.
Sorry, 5 foreheads. I'm so sorry. There you go. I misspoke.
That's fine.
That was embarrassing.
I'm just thinking about all the astrological stuff. I'm just, you know, a little loopy like Mr. Major Briggs.
Right. Yeah, just generalities. I thought that there were plenty of sight gags, plenty of scary moments, like the jump scare kind of with Windermere's teeth in the beginning. And down to the anticipation of how the Miss Twin Peaks competition was going to play out. Everything across this, I think, was just a really, really solidly paced and really good episode. And I loved it. Tyler, in general, how'd you feel about it?
I thought it was great. I thought everything leading up to the pageant was just typical Twin Peaks. And it was pretty solid. But then the whole ending with all the strobe and everything, an explosion, like, for some reason I just love that, so that bumped it up for me.
It was definitely
no surprise that
definitely a killer ending.
Donna is spawn of Ben Horn and
Audrey's
spawn
sister
of Ben Horn. Spawn of Horn
and band name called it and no surprise that Annie won, but yeah, that whole last scene was pretty stellar.
So do you have any final predictions before next week, Tyler?
Let's see. Nadine is going to be back in action, just her normal self with freakish strength. What else is going to happen?
My drapes.
I don't know. I think Annie is going to die. If she doesn't, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
Okay.
That's a character arc, right?
Sure. Because they didn't know it was canceled yet, right?
No.
No, they did not.
It was not
so
confirmed.
Everything going on was thinking...
Yeah, I mean, they were going to...
We don't have to close it out.
Yeah, they were going to pull out all the stops to keep it on the air if they can. But I still think they knew the writing was on the wall.
Right. Hmm.
As if ABC was
Wyndham
saying,
Earl
this
is
might
definitely
not be for everybody.
Wyndham Earl is definitely going to die. There's going to be some closure there for Coop. I think it's going to come at the expense of Annie's death.
It's a nice prediction, sir.
Yeah.
Cool.
Josie's going to have assembled an army of wooden drawer knobs. what else? I think that's it. Those are the highlights.
Yeah, that's my band name called it.
I'm very much looking forward to the drawer knob army in the next episode.
That's the band name. Army of wooden drawer knobs.
and you will know us by the army of wooden drawer knobs. Patrick, generalities as far as this episode.
I like this episode a lot. It's really, it is.
Well, why wouldn't you?
The ending is explosive in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly my favorite scene of the episode. As you can always predict with me, I love the Garland Briggs stuff. I do think all the stuff with him, with what he said, you know, even if it came across as gibberish, were important, which obviously Cooper picked up on, not Truman, because he doesn't pick up on anything. But it's fun, and I just can't wait for next week.
Well, I think we need to go into this thing and find some dialogue that really spoke to us that we can speak again in our Damn Fine Lines of the Night segment.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is, excuse me, a damn fine.
Hot damn, this line is good.
Tyler, I think you get dibs this week.
I get dibs. Man. Okay, I'll take that. Let's see. My line is as follows.
Perfect.
Listen to nothing. She's been living in this town about 15 minutes. And what the hell got into you?
She gave a beautiful speech. Inherent in her message were words even the most craven of us can ill afford to ignore.
Gotta love.
She doesn't even go
some
here.
Mayor Milfy.
Yeah, you don't even go here.
Oh, fantastic stuff from Mayor Milford.
Classic.
Patrick, you got a damn fine line for tonight?
I do. It comes from the very end. I think it's just a great line from Andy. I think I actually said this line, because I do this from time to time where I'll say something from something that hasn't happened yet that wouldn't... Tyler would never pick up on it. But there was a time one of you guys mentioned a map many episodes ago, mm-hmm. and then you just hear me come in and say, "It's a map."
It's a map.
So, but I like that Andy is the one that figured this out. I don't even like it. I love it. I love that he's the one that figured out that it's a map. But I just love that this is how the episode ended. In the, you know, right after all the chaos ended, you know, Cooper's obviously got his mind elsewhere. So I love that it ends here with Andy telling him what he's discovered.
This is important. That cave painting in the office, I finally figured it out.
What?
I knew I'd seen it someplace before. I know where it's telling us to go. It's not a puzzle at all. It's a map.
It's a map.
Even Cooper's reaction there. What?
Super good.
His mind is other places, but listen to Andy. He's been trying to tell you all day. Mm-hmm.
Right. My line tonight comes from Miss Audrey Horn as she speaks at the Miss Twin Peaks pageant. I think it really sets the stage for the end of this episode and the one to follow, and it's just really strong writing, and it really plays well.
There is only one way to save a forest, an idea, or anything of value, and that is by refusing to stand by and watch it die. There is a law of nature which is more fundamental to life than the laws of man. And when something you care about is in danger, you must fight to save it or lose it forever. Thank you.
Of course, by the end of the episode, we lose Annie. And this is just huge foreshadowing. Like, Cooper is going to have to fight to save her. It's so good. So good.
So good.
So great.
So great. Yep, that is our Damn Fine Lines of the Night.
Damn fine.
See, gentlemen, if there's no further to do, it's time to rank this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 James Hurley foreheads in a segment called Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
I can't.
James.
I just can't. James!
Tyler, once again, you are on the block.
Man,
foreheads.
What
for
is
the
it?
Episode,
my birthday?
Miss Twin Peaks or Night of Decision?
First of all, I'm going with Miss Twin Peaks.
Fair enough.
You know, can't say anything. can't say anything. You just got to do it.
Just Five.
Yay!
Yes. I loved it. Yay! I loved it.
I love to see it. I love when you love an episode. And I love how iffy you were on a lot of the aspects coming in. And how much you've really grown into it. It's, you love to see it. And I'm so excited because this upcoming episode is going to be fantastic. I'm showing my hand a little bit, but Patrick, go ahead.
I'll be the judge of that.
Sure. It's a fantastic episode, and I'm going to give it a classic 4.5.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I mean, I did 5.
I know. I'm letting you have this one.
All right.
Just 4.5.
If you need me to explain, I can tell you what didn't get me there.
Yes.
It was that closet scene with
I forgot about that.
With the flashlight?
Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah, yeah. That's what she said.
Hey-o.
She probably didn't.
All right. As I said last episode, I am saving my 5 foreheads.
You don't have to save. You can give them 2 5s.
That's 10.
It's true.
You're right. I love it. There's no reason to hold back. I love everything about this episode. Top to bottom, left to right, 5 foreheads. Throw it out there.
Just 5.
Spoiler, we know Dave's score for next week.
So what do you think about...
I know, there could be a twist.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think about next season? We start off... How many episodes are there in The Return?
18?
So we start off with a total of 94 heads at the beginning.
We have to allot them across the
season. Yes.
I could get on board with that.
You each get 94 heads. Use them sparingly.
That is a system we can discuss further. But for now, that has been Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
Guys, next week is it.
That's it.
Season finale next week of season 2 of Twin Peaks.
Is it.
Yes, yes.
I can't believe
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
It's going to be a slobber knocker, as they say in the wrestling community.
Yep. It's going to be okay. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Tyler?
Can't you?
Your predictions, we will see how much they actually come to fruition.
I will be very on the edge of my seat.
As will I.
As will I.
Man, I don't know what else to say. This has been fun. I've had a blast. It's wonderful.
It has been great.
We're going to end season 2 next week. I'm super excited for it. After that, we've still got Fire Walk With Me. We've still got The Secret History of Twin Peaks. We've still got Season 3. There's stuff to talk about. There are things to do. And we will get there. But bottom line, I'm stoked.
Yeah.
Me too. I have 2 shout-outs.
Let's hear
1.5. I'm going 1.5. No new Twitter followers this week.
Bummer.
I did get 2 new follows on Instagram. Ooh. I Move Car.
Wow.
Thank you for the follow. And the other, Kanashi_Kaniko, ooh, who gets half a shout out because I tried to follow them back and I've yet to be approved.
Oh, no.
So I know you're listening. Just, you know, just press a button. I need this.
If you like what you hear on Talking Backwards, you can reach out to us at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at talkingbackwardspod.
So be sure to follow us on Twitter at talkingbackward.
Tyler?
Anchor.
Perfect. See you next week for Beyond Life and Death.
I don't even know how to look this up.
I googled 90s workout.
Where do I begin?
Buns of Steel?
I did 90s jazzercise. Buns of Steel.
Buns of Steel.
That's it.